Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Kuf Chaf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find toward the lower part of the narrow lines, if you prefer, 19 lines from the top. As you look in the text, you'll notice a marking that resembles a volcano or trapezoid shape. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where we've written that we will see Shnei Maisim, two incidents, the Shamu Demeis Ploni, wherein we learn that so-and-so is dead, and of course with the ramifications of the widow being able to remarry, Avol Loi Ro'u Olo Zihu Mi Ze Sheomar. They heard the news, but they didn't see who the news bearer was, or they didn't recognize him. The Mishnah. Me'idim le'or haner u'le'or halavona. Testimony concerning the body, namely identification of the body, can be made at candlelight, with candlelight, or in the light of the moon, meaning at night with the moon casting its light. Umasin al pi baskoil, and the woman can receive permission to remarry based on information that you received through what the Mishnah calls a baskol. Now we'll define baskol with Rashi. Al pi baskol, shamu koil soyekis, a voice was heard screaming, "Ploini meis, so and so is dead." Velo ro'u adam betsalmo, and no, a physical person was seen who was saying that. So, a voice was heard, but no body associated with the voice. That's enough to allow the woman to remarry. There was an incident where someone was standing on a mountaintop and saying, Ish ploini ben ploini mimoko in ploini meis. So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, from so-and-so, such-and-such a place, is dead. Hochu v'lo motsu shom adam. They went there, didn't find anybody there, and didn't see anyone on the top of that mountain. And nevertheless, that was enough for them to have the woman remarry. V'shuv maise b'tzalmoin. There was an incident in a place called Tzalmoin. Be'echot shomar. There was someone that was saying, Ani ish ploni ben ploni, I am so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, noshchani nochosh varei ani meis. I've been bitten by a venomous snake, and I am about to die. V'hochu v'lohi kiru, they went there and didn't recognize him. V'hochu v'hesio es ishto. In other words, they heard this information with the name, and they went to the wife of that person, though they didn't recognize him. The fact that he proclaimed his identity was enough. Omar Rabo Bar Shmuel, Tono, the Tanaic source says, Beishamai Omrim Ein Masin Alpi Baskol. One cannot enable a woman to remarry based on information that you hear from a mere voice. Ubeisil omrim masin al pi baskoil. And Beisilo says, you can. The Gemara asks, what do I need Rabo Bar Shmuel's source for, in which Beisilo, which is the recognized authority when you see a machlokes between Beisham Beisilo, Beisilo represents the more accepted way of ruling. what do I need Rabbo Bar Shmuel to present this source to me? My komash malon masnisin hi. This information, in fact, is reflected by our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't have a name in it, and our Mishnah being an unnamed Mishnah, we call a Stam Mishnah, that itself is authoritative. So I understand that that is the way the halacha goes. So what do I now know that I didn't know before, thanks to Rabbo Bar Shmuel? The Gemara answers, Ha Komash Malon. The following is that which Rabbo Bar Shmuel conveys. The I Mishtakis Stamo, the Ein Masin. If you should ever find an unnamed Tanaic source in which it says Ein Masin Alpi Baskoil, then you will know Beis Shammai Hi. That source, even though it's unnamed, is basically not authoritative, because, you know, or the halacha will not follow that, because it is the opinion of Beis Shammai. V'holchu v'lo motzu. The Mishnah related that they didn't find the source of the voice, and yet they relied on it as reliable testimony for the woman to remarry. The Gemara has a series of questions, and you can see we've marked them off accordingly, with this marking that under our Mivneh on the side, you can see we have this marking indicating She'elos, a series of questions. V'dilma Sheidhu, maybe it was a demon, and that's certainly not a reliable source of information. Omar Rabbi Huda Omar Rav Sheru'u Loi D'mus Odom. They saw a human image when the screaming and the voice started to be heard. The Gemara asks, well, inu nami domu. These demons also have a human form. The Gemara answers, dechazu le babua. They saw a shadow as well. The Gemara asks, v'inu nami is luhu babua, but they also have a shadow. Answer, dechazu le babua de babua. The Rashi says on babua babua, it says tseo tsiloi. Elsewhere in the Shas, you see the expression tseo tsilo to mean a shadow whose length is greater than the height of the person himself. So maybe that's the intent of the term babua de babua. And the Gemara asks, "V'dilmo lididhu islu babua de babua." Maybe the shadow cast by the demon could be of that nature as well. So, how can they rely on the information? Omar Rabbi Chanina, Omar li yoinuson shida. Rabbi Chanina tells us that this individual, two explanations of who he was: either he himself was a demon, or he was an expert in demons. But we refer to him here as Yonis and Shida. Told me, Babua Islu, Babua de Babua Lesu. They have a shadow, but an increased length shadow that they don't have. And being that in this particular Mishnah, they had seen this image with a long shadow, that is enough for us to conclude that it's a reliable source. The Dilmot Sora Havoy, maybe it was a co-wife, and we've learned in previous Mishnayos that a co-wife is not reliable. Tona Debe Rabbi Shmuel Bishas Hasakona Kaisvin Vinoisnin Af Al Pi She'ein Makirin. At a time of pressing or extenuating circumstances, we will write a get and give it to the woman, even if we don't recognize the source of the information. Where we don't recognize, in the case of a get, the source or the man who was saying to have the get written. So this source that's taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel deals with a get, and we are dealing with information concerning the death of a man. But either way, you can see that when there are extenuating circumstances, and in our case, our Shasa Sakona is that if we don't believe the bas kol, then the woman will remain unmarried. She'll remain an aguna. So for our purposes, just like in the case of the writing of a get, we have this leniency, and we can look in Rashi also to see this information. Rashi b'shasa sakona she'odem mesukon, person is in danger. Kagoni shoya mushlof b'bor. An example would be someone who was cast into a pit. The Omar, and he proclaims kol shomea koloi. Anyone who hears his voice, meaning his own voice, yichtoiv get lishto, shall write a get to divorce for my wife to be divorced, to be freed up. We will write the get and give it to her based on that which the voice emanating from the pit says. Ani hu ploni ben ploni. I am so and so. I am her husband, and that would be enough. So you can see leniency when you're dealing with extenuating circumstances. So too, in our case, if you don't believe this voice, lo timsa acher, the teshev aguna, you won't find any other one indicating the death, and she will remain an unmarried, a with restricted woman, unable to remarry. We continue now with a new Mishnah, and on the side, the Nosei, the Mivneh heading, the Nosei, that is the topic heading, Mihe Maksherim Le'edus Noshim, who is included in acceptance, acceptability for information concerning the death of a husband. Omar Rabbi Akiva, Kishiradati L'Nahardo, when I descended to Nahardo, he apparently traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Babylonia, to the town of Nahardo, L'Aber Hashana, in order to make calculations concerning the extension of a year, in other words, adding a month, we call that a leap year. So when I was on my way to Nahardo for that purpose, Motsosi Nechemya Ish Beis Deli, Omar Li, I met this gentleman in Nechemya from Beis Dali, and he told me, Shamati She'ein Masiyin Eso Isha Be'eretz Yisrael Al Pi Eid Echad Elo Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bava. I heard that with the exception of Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bava, we would not enable a woman to remarry based on the testimony of a singular witness. The Numesi Loi, and I told him, says Rabbi Kiva, Kain Hadvaram, that is true that everyone argues with Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava. Omar Li, so Nechemya tells me, Emor Lohem Mishmi, tell them in my name, Atem Yoidim Shamadina Mishubeshes Begaisos. You know that this region is full of bandits, bands of men that endanger, that create danger on the roads, and I can't get there myself to tell you the following. Kach mikublani me rabon gamliel hazokain. I have the following tradition from the from Rabbi Gamliel the elder, she masin eso isha al pi eid echad, that we can enable a woman to remarry based on the testimony of a singular witness. Ukshibosi virtesi advorim lifnei rabon gamliel. And when I, says Rabbi Akiva, came and presented the information to Rabbi Gamliel, somach lidvorai, he was happy with what I said, the Omar, and said, Motsonu chover l'Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava. We found a colleague, another individual, another opinion to agree with, to support Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that grants reliance upon a singular witness to enable a woman to remarry. Mitoch Adover Niskar Gamliel, Shenergu Harugim Betel Arza, and from that, that it reminded Gamliel that there were murdered victims in a place called Tel Arza, Vehesi Gamliel Nishosem Alpi Eid Echad, and Gamliel enabled the wives of those victims to remarry based on the testimony of a mere singular witness. Behuchsiku liois masiyin, and they then accepted upon themselves the ability to have women remarry based on the knowledge of the death of their husbands, Eid Mipi Eid, Mipi Eved, Mipi Isha, Mipi Shivcha. Information that's gained from, we'll say, secondhand information, where a witness says, I heard from so-and-so that so-and-so died. That's Eid Mipi Eid, or from information from a slave, or from a woman, or from a bondmaid. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Oimrim Ein Masina, Seisha Al Pi Eid Echad. And these two great authorities say that you don't enable a woman to remarry based on the testimony of a singular witness. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Loi Al Pi Isha, Veloi Al Pi Eved, Veloi Al Pi Shivcha, Veloi Al Pi Kroivim. And Rabbi Akiva represents an opinion here in this Mishnah saying not to rely on a woman, a slave, a bondmaid, nor relatives. Now we have a bracketed section which enables us to skip the section of this section of Gemara and go right to the continuation of the Mishnah. We just heard Rabbi Akiva present his point of view, and now we skip to the next Mishnah. Omru Loi. They told Rabbi Akiva, Maisa Bivnei Levi Shaholchu Le Soar Ir Hatmorim V'cholo Echod Mehem. There was an incident where Bnei Levi, we'll say it's a group of people, maybe a family, that went to this town, Soar, the city of dates, a place where they cultivated date palms. V'cholo Echod Mehem, and one of them took ill, Veviu Pundak, and they brought him to an inn. Uvachazarosam, and on their way back, Omru Lepundakis Ayechaveirenu, they sought out their friend that they deposited in this particular inn. Where's our friend? They asked the innkeeper, a lady innkeeper. Numes Lohem, she told them, Mes Ukvartiv, he died and I buried him. Vesiu es Ishtoi, and they enabled the widow to remarry. Velo tehe kehenes kepundikis. It shouldn't be that a proper kehenes represents a proper Jewish woman, a Bas Yisrael, from pure genealogy. Should she not be any less than the information gleaned from a pundikis? The Pundikis being even like a lower figure than a Kehenis. Rabbi Akiva had recently, we had just heard, said, you don't rely on a woman. What kind of woman? Even a hush of a woman and a distinguished woman, you would not rely on her. And they tell Rabbi Akiva about this incident where they relied even on a Pundikis. Omar Lohem, Rabbi Akiva says back to them, Lichashitehei, Kepundikis Neemenis. When the situation is like the case of the Pundikis, then we will believe her. Now, if we look in Rashi at the underneath the Gemara text, L'sheita Kepundikis Neemenis. Klomak she yimsa dover ze emes sheminu es a Pundikis shrei lo aleo samcha alpi ela lafi tuma hesicha ve'via lahem maklo v'tarmilo. Rabbi Akiva says, according to this version, that they weren't really relying on the Pundikis. The Pundikis had been telling them a story without intention to actually testify. And she brought them his accoutrements, his walking stick, his haversack, his backpack. The second pshat that you can see in Rashi as far machem lichtei Kepundikis Neemenes. Klomar, Ba'oise Inyan Sheminu Pundikis, Havinami Shar Isha Neemenes. The way they believe the Pundikis, other women would also be believed. Shere Pundikis Hoitzio Lohen, the Pundikis brought him out to them, Val HaSimonim Somchwen, on the identification marks they relied. So now we go back to the Gemara. After hearing Rabbi Akiva's response to them, that the case of the Pundikis was not a straightforward case of relying on a woman's testimony. A Pundikis hoitzilehem makla v'tarmilo v'sefer Torah shehoya biyado. That's how the Mishnah concludes, that the Pundikis produced for them his walking stick, his backpack, and the Sefer Torah, the Torah scroll that he had in his possession. And it's through those elements that they were able to identify their friend, but not based on the mere word of the pundikis. We continue on Omid Beis. My Griusa the Pundikis. From the Mishnah, we saw that the Pundikis was considered a lesser figure than a standard woman. So what's the deficiency? The Griusa means the deficiency or the lacking in the Pundikis that she was described thusly. Omar Avkana, Pundikis Everis Kechavim Hoysa. This was an idol worshipper lady who was the innkeeper. And she was telling them a story. She was telling them when they came into the inn, they said, Zem Maklo, Vizet Tarmilo, Vizet Kevesh Shekavartivbo. This is his stick, this is his backpack, and this is the grave in which I buried him. Vechain Toni Abo Bre Deravi Derav Menumi Barchia, Pundikis Oivedis Kechovim Hoysa. So Abo Bre Derav Menumi tells us that. In a Tanaic, he quotes a Tanaic source elaborating on the Mishnah, that it was a Pundikis idol worshipper, the Hoysa, that's who she was, a Masicha Lefituma Hoysa, and she was not telling us a piece of testimony, she was telling a story. Ze Makloi, Veze Tarmiloi, Veze Kever Shekavartiv Boi. The Gemara asks, how can you describe her as Masicha Lefituma? When they initiated the investigation for Aye Chaveirenu Ko Amri La, they initiated by asking, where is our friend? So then, if that's the case, she's not volunteering a story on her own. She's being prompted. And her response then would constitute a form of testimony, and that is not... that's not good enough for us to rely on. The Gemara answers, Kevon de Chazisinu Bachya, when they approached the inn, they saw her crying. In other words, Rashi says, before they asked, where is our friend, she started crying. Omru La, they asked her, Aye Chaveirenu. After seeing her crying, they asked, where is our friend? Omru Lohem Meis Ukavartiv. So the fact that there was already, before they prompted her, there was already evidence through her behavior that she initiated, that is the reason upon we are able to rely on her information. Tonu Rabbonon. Actually, before we continue with this Tanaic source, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, E bo'ino drisha v'chakira be'edus noshim. Do we require cross-examination of the witness when it comes to information enabling information concerning the death of a man, which we call edus noshim, information that that enables a woman to remarry. The terms drisha and chakira are very important terms when learning laws concerning testimony. So, and as we said, the drisha and chakira involves the investigative type questions. Questions that deal with time, with place, questions that help to identify details of the circumstances. In general, drisha v'chakira is something that is required when you're dealing with two witnesses coming to testify about standard situations that demand, I say standard meaning situations that demand standard testimony, the testimony of two witnesses, two kosher witnesses. In the case of Edus Isha, do we require Drisha V'Chakira as well? Of course, we've seen already numerous attempts to be lenient in our requirements regarding testimony of this nature of Eidus Isha, what about Drisha v'Chakira? So we start the source again. Tonu Rabbanan, Maisa ba'Adam Echad Shepo Lahoid Al Isha. There was an incident with a man that came to testify about on behalf of a woman or for the woman concerning her husband's death. Lefnei Rabbi Tarfon. And the case came to Rabbi Tarfon. Omar Loi. Rabbi Tarfon asks, "Bini hechato yodea be'edus yishezu? How do you know about this information for this woman?" Omar, ani vehu hayinu holchim baderech. I and her husband were walking on the road. Verodaf acharenu gayis, and we were pursued by a group of criminals or bandits. The nitle beyichur shel zayis, and he grabbed an olive branch, upashchoi, and ripped it off the olive tree. The hichsir es agayis lachorov, and with that branch, he was able to fend off the gayis, the band of criminals, of threatening individuals. If we skip the brackets for a moment, we read liyomim chola umeis. After a while, the fellow got sick and died. Vehesi Rabbi Tarfon is ish. Upon hearing that story, Rabbi Tarfon enabled the woman to remarry. Following this, the Gemara asks Rabbi Tarfon, "Lo boy drisha v'chakira? Does Rabbi Tarfon not require cross examination, intensive questioning?" And the question itself lasts a number of lines. But before we get to that, we want to take note of the bracketed section. First of all, there's a note that we have on the side. Matras hasograim. The purpose of these brackets is litzor retzef be'edusa shel ho'ish. To enable us to see a continuity in the testimony of the man regarding the death of her husband. The Gabi Mises Bailo Shalisha Shebesium Dvorav Siper de Liomim Cholomes. At the end of his speech, his story, we then learn that he took sick, that the husband of this lady took sick and died. Now, we go back to the story where you see the man had said that the husband had ripped off a branch and he fended off the gayis. We now read within the brackets. Amarti loy. This is Rabbi Tarfon speaking. I said to him, Aryeh Yishakoyach. Omar li, the fellow then said to me, Minayin atu yodea sha'aryeh shmi. How do you know that that's my name? Kach Korin Osi Beiri. In fact, this is what they call me in my town. Yochanan Rebbe Yehoinoson Aryeh de Mikvar Shichya. That's how they call me. That's what they call me. They call me the Yochanan, the son of Rebbe Yehoinoson Aryeh, from the community, from the town of Shichya. And he continues to tell us that Liyomim Cholo Meis. And that very fellow who was the warrior type, who was her husband, he died. And Rabbi Tarfon enabled her to remarry. The Gemara now asks, and this question, which is a long question, V'Rabbi Tarfon lo boy drisha v'chakira? Does Rabbi Tarfon not require, we'll call it intense questioning? We take a look at Rashi. You see the term drisha, the dikos, where we investigate, ki hai gavna l'chavein estvorov. Questions to make sure that what is being told over is straightforward, is reliable. Chakira be'eza yoyim u'be'eza shah. Chakira involves those kind of questions that deal with time. So we don't see that in this story. We don't see Rabbi Tarfon subjecting the bearer of the information to drisha v'chakira. Does Rabbi Tarfon not require that? V'ha Tanya, we have the following source: Ma'isibod Demechad Shibol Lifnei Rabbi Tarfon, and you'll notice it's the same story. but it's told over in this Tanaic source with added information. So there was this story involving a man coming to Rabbi Tarfon, Lo Yodei Dus Isha, Omar Lo, Bini Heich Ato Yodei Dusu. Rabbi Tarfon says, you're telling me that so-and-so died. How do you know this information? Omar Lo, Ani, Vahu, Hoyinu, Holchim Baderech. I and him, her husband, were on the road, Vradav Acharenu Gaius, Vinitla Biyichur Te'ena. And he grabbed a branch of a fig tree. Notice this is where the story is different than what was reported before. He grabbed a branch of a fig tree. Upashchoy veichsir sagayas lachorov. He ripped off this branch and repelled the gayas. If we skip the brackets for a moment, liyomim cholomes. And after some time went by, he took sick and died. Now, that skipping was simply to maintain the continuity of the fellow's story. But now we go back to the brackets. Omarti lo yasher koichacho arye. Power be unto you. All power to you, arye. Omarli yofa kivanta lishmi. So the fellow told me, says Rabbi Tarfon, that you got my name accurately. You guessed my name. Shekach Korin Osi Beiri. In fact, that's what I am called in my town. Yoi Chonon Ben Yoinason Aryeh Demikfar Shichya. Miyomim Cholomes. And some time went by, and the fellow took ill and died. That means the husband of the lady that I'm telling you about, he took ill and died. Omar Loi. The Rabbi Tarfon says back to this man, Lo kachomartoli, did you not say to me, Yoichanan ben Yoinason de Mikfar Shichya Arye? Notice the words and the markings. Initially, the fellow had said to Rabbi Tarfon, my name is Yoichanan ben Yoinason Arye from the town of Shichya. And now Rabbi Tarfon subjects him to questioning by saying, oh, didn't you say that your name was, and notice the markings, Yoichanan ben Yoinason, the Mikfar Shichya Aryeh. Notice that Aryeh is attached to the town's name, that the name of the town was Kfar Shichya Aryeh, not the name of the speaker. Omar Lay, so the man, the information bearer tells back, he speaks back, he responds to Rabbi Tarfon, lo, that's not what I said. Elokacho marti loch, this is what I told you. Yoichanan ben Yoinason Aryeh to Mikfar Shichya. That the Aryeh is part of my name, not the community's name. V'diktek olov shnayim u'shlosh shepomim. And Rabbi Tarfon asks several questions like this 2-3 more times. The Kivein Estvarov, and each time the man was consistent with what he had said earlier. The Hasi Rabbi Tarfon is Ishto, and Rabbi Tarfon enabled the man, the widow, to remarry. What we see here in this source is that Rabbi Tarfon really was concerned with the information being subjected, the information bearer being subjected to Drisha V'Chakira. In the source before, we didn't see that. The Gemara answers or responds and says, Tanoi hi. The issue is a machloikis tanoim. So that we have two Tanaic versions as to what took place based on these two, what's called later Tanaic authorities regarding this matter. Desanya. And here you see the machloikis tanoim. Ein boikim eidei noshim bedrisha v'chakira, divrei Rabbi Akiva. People indicating that a woman's husband died, those information bearers are not to be subjected to this cross-examination. And Rabbi Tarfon Omer Botkim, yes, they are. V'komifligi but Rabbi Chanina, and the machloikis, the controversy that we see here, is based on the teaching of Rabbi Chanina. The Omer Rabbi Chanina, Devar Torah, Echod Dinei Momenes, Vechod Dinei Nefoshes, Bedrisha V'Chakira. When it comes to testimony concerning financial matters or capital cases, dinei nefashos, the witnesses are to be subjected to cross-examination. Shenemar, mishpat echad yia lochem. One consistent form of justice, of rule, legal rules, apply to all cases. Why is it that in practice, information or testimony concerning financial matters is not subjected to drisha v'hakira? In other words, if you have, let us say, two witnesses that come and say, we saw a loan extended from Mr. A to Mr. B. So Mr. B owes money to Mr. A. We hear the testimony of those witnesses and we take that at face value. We don't subject the witnesses to the intense questioning that we described earlier. So why is that so? Why is that, that's the way we practice law? That we don't subject witnesses in matters of finance, of money, to drisha v'hakira? Answer, shelo tinoil deles bifnei lovin. Literally means so that we don't lock the door in the face of people seeking out loans. What does that mean on a more practical level? A person will not loan money unless he has a sense of confidence that he'll be able to get it back, to collect his loan. If we were to subject witnesses who witness loan extensions, loan givings, to drisha v'hakira, in many cases, people, witnesses can be tripped up. They can mess up in some area of detail in the testimony, which would be revealed through the drisha v'hakira. Let me say, that wouldn't indicate that they're actual liars, but it would be enough to show us that you can't rely, they can't be relied upon because there's some kind of inconsistency in their testimony. And if we reveal this inconsistency, if we follow the letter of the law, we're going to throw them out, and then the individual, the lender, is not going to have witnesses to verify the loan that he extended. So now, as we said, it'll be easy to trip up witnesses in dine momentis, and people hearing or aware of this will say, I'm not going to take a chance in extending loans to people, knowing that the people that witness it will end up getting tripped up because of the drisha v'hakira. So it's to the ultimate benefit of borrowers, people seeking out loans, that witnesses are not subjected to drisha v'hakira, so as to encourage the lenders to extend loans. So that's as far as dine momenus are concerned. So just to review, when it comes to non-dine momenus, dine nefoshes includes all kinds of capital cases. For example, a married woman that has intimacy with another man other than her husband is guilty of a capital offense. And she could be put to death. That's called dine nefoshes. The Gemara continues, Uvemai komifligi. After learning Rabbi Hanino's teaching that there's a distinction between dine momenus and dine nefoshes on a practical level, how does this information help show the basis of the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon? The Gemara continues, Mor sovar, the opinion that says we don't subject Eide Noshim to drisha v'hakira holds kevon de'ikok suba lemishkal, since part of the information is the lady, when she learns that she is a widow, she then will collect the money that was guaranteed to her when she got married, which we refer to as the ksuba. Lemishkal means to take. Since there is the ksuba for her to collect, kadine momenus domi. The information concerning her husband's death is dine momenus related. And as we saw, when it comes to witnesses concerning dine momenus, we do not subject them to drisha v'chakiro. Umor sava, the opinion that says we do check out the witnesses with drisha v'chakiro, kevon de kosharinon eishes ish la'almo, since the net result of this testimony is that the woman who was up till now known as a married woman is now released and permitted to marry someone else, kedine nefashes domi, that classifies this testimony as dine nefashes, that which is of a capital nature. So it's based on how do you look at or what do you emphasize with regard to information in which it said meis ploni, that so and so died, with regard to eidus isha. Is it, do we emphasize the momentous aspect, or do we emphasize the nefashos aspect? That's the basis of the machloikis. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Amar Rebbe Chanina, Talmidei Chachomim Marbim Sholom Boilom. The presence of Torah scholars and their study of Torah increases peace in the world. Shneamar, V'chol Bonayach Limudei Hashem, V'rav Shalom Bonayach. The text is found in other Gemaras, is added on the side, Al Tikri Bonayach, don't read it as your sons, Ela Bonayach, your builders. And that's a reference to the Torah scholars who help build the world, and through their study of Torah, they are the reason or the basis of the increase of peace in this world. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access Mark Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. And as you can see, we have, with this shiur, completed Maseches Yevamos, and hope and pray to the Almighty that He will give us strength and good health to review this Masechta, as well as all other Masechtas that we have studied. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.